And let me just first start by asking, has anyone downloaded or seen the materials in the community workshops? Have you seen any of this? One person? Okay. Then hopefully you will all learn something from today's session. So my name is Katrina Butner. I work for the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. Our office is under the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, which is found within the larger Department of U.S. Health and Human Services. And so our office, along with USDA, jointly puts out the dietary guidelines for Americans every 5 years. Who's heard of the dietary guidelines? Got a few more? Awesome. And then we also put out the physical activity guidelines for Americans. And so basically what our office decided to do is take those policy documents and bring it down to a consumer level. And so the result of that was the community workshop series. And so that's what today's presentation will be all about. So there'll be three parts to today's presentation. First, I'm going to introduce the Eat Healthy, Be Active community workshops and give you some more information about the workshops themselves, how they were developed, and how you could use these within your own community. Next, Amber Mosher is going to talk about the pilot testing and the data that we collected from basically testing out these workshops in a variety of settings to see how well they worked. And then lastly, we're going to give you an example of a faith-based community who used the community workshop series to fit within their community. So they did a little bit of a twist on the workshops themselves. Unfortunately, Sylvia couldn't be here to present, so I'll be talking through the program that she led with that. So to get things started, since I'm moderating and presenting, I'll give my own introduction, but there's no relationships to disclose. To give you a little bit of my background, I have a PhD in clinical exercise physiology and nutrition, so I kind of sit on both sides of the equation and jump back and forth in between. And I've been at the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion for just over a year as a physical activity and nutrition advisor. And I played a large role with getting these workshops developed and also the work with pilot testing them as well. So to give you some background on where they came from, as I mentioned before, they're based on the Dietary Guidelines for Americans and the Physical Activity Guidelines. So to give you a little bit of background about those two guidelines is that they're policy documents coming out of the federal government. And essentially, these are written for the healthcare professional and for policymakers. They're not necessarily written for the consumer level. But the way the guidelines were developed was basically taking all of the science available at that time and then bringing that down to what are the key parts that are important for overall health, specifically related to nutrition and related to physical activity. And so the intended audience for this community workshop series, we tested this with a lot of different adult population groups. And so the materials for the community workshops are written for the adult consumer, but they can be taught by a variety of other instructors, educators, health promoters, dietitians, cooperative extension agents, really a very broad range. So what are the workshops? Essentially, it's a series of 6 one-hour lessons that can be taught in a variety of different settings. They're roughly set up to be about an hour. In some pilot testing, they might have gone a little longer or a little shorter, depending on the questions and depending on the audience. And so these next two slides are going to detail out the titles of the workshops to give you kind of a snapshot, and then I'm going to delve a little deeper and give you some specific examples of what's found in the workshops. So if you think about it, physical activity and nutrition are pretty complex issues. And so that's why we felt it was important to have a series of 6 workshops, because we couldn't cram all the important things that we'd like everybody to know about physical activity and nutrition into one lesson. So we broke it down into 6 manageable pieces. Now, when we pilot tested this, we taught it as a series of 6, starting from 1 through 6. But the material can be picked out and independently used. So if you just wanted to teach to a group that was worried or focused on healthy eating for a budget, and you wanted to help people strategize in that, you could just teach workshop room. But to go through them in order, just to give you a picture of things, the first one is enjoy healthy food that tastes great. Workshop 2 is quick healthy meals and snacks. Workshop 3, healthy eating on a budget. Workshop 4 is more focused on obtaining or maintaining a healthy weight, so tips for losing weight and keeping it off. And then workshop 5, making healthy eating a part of your total lifestyle. Notice the word diet was not mentioned in any of these. We're talking about a total healthy lifestyle. So the focus, none of these prescribe a diet plan. As you know, in the dietary guidelines, there is no specific plan, but the focus is on overall health. And then workshop 6, physical activity is the key to living well. So if you notice in the title, the first 5 were primarily nutrition focused. And what we did is weave physical activity into those first 5 as well. And then workshop 6 is more focused on the physical activity components. And actually some of the activities in that are specifically showing different ways of doing physical activity and incorporating that into someone's lifestyle. But all of them kind of weave those messages of healthy nutrition and physical activity in together. So the dietary guidelines have 7 key consumer messages. And so, like I mentioned before, the dietary guidelines are a policy document, but when working on that piece, they felt like it was important to highlight some specific areas. And so these are the common themes that are coming through throughout the community workshops. 3 overarching themes are balancing calories, foods to increase, and foods to decrease. Now, if you notice the order of these as well, there was a lot of discussion when doing the dietary guidelines of whether to focus on foods to increase or foods to decrease first, and how we should set up that message. But it's important to note that there's areas where the overall American population could be increasing some nutrients, and also those where there needs to be some nutrients that could be decreased for overall health. So when talking about balancing calories, enjoy your food, but eat less. Avoid oversized portions. Foods to increase. You probably all heard the message of make half your plates fruits and vegetables. Make at least half your grains whole grains. And switching to fat-free or low-fat 1% milk. And then foods to decrease. The 2 big pieces here are sodium and then sugary beverages. So compare sodium in foods like soup, bread, and frozen meals, and choose foods with lower numbers. What's interesting here, a lot of people don't think about bread as having sodium, but actually when they looked at the nutrients from NHANES data, bread overall, looking at the overall picture of what Americans were eating, actually contributed the most to sodium in many people's diets. So when we think of high sodium foods, we tend to think of canned goods a lot of time, but actually overall the quantity of bread was contributing to a larger amount. So that's why it's called out specifically here. And then drink water instead of sugary drinks. And then switching gears to the physical activity guidelines. How many people are aware of the physical activity guidelines? Great. So they were first released in 2008. They're not mandated to come out on a 5-year cycle the same way the dietary guidelines are. So those have come out for the first time in 2008, like I mentioned, and we're actually in the process right now of working on a mid-course report that'll be coming out in 2013, which will add to the guidelines themselves. So the key guidelines for adults, and the next slide I'm going to talk about the youth population. This first box up here is literally taken straight from the guidelines, has a lot of detail in it, but the key piece is right down here at the bottom. So for overall health, this is not talking about weight loss, but overall health and reduced risk for chronic disease, the recommendations are 150 minutes of moderate activity or 75 minutes of vigorous activity per week, or a combination of the two. Essentially, 1 minute of vigorous is approximately equal to 2 minutes of moderate. So if you work out a little harder, you can do a few less minutes and still get the same health benefits. But in general, and the reason why it's 150 minutes, which is kind of confusing, a lot of people, why are we saying 150 minutes? It seems like a big number, and many consumers then start doing the math. How long do I have to be on the treadmill for 150 minutes? Well, if you divide it out, it's roughly 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. The reason why the message isn't 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, is because the science didn't show, when they were looking at the evidence, whether doing 40 minutes one day, 20 minutes the next, 15 after that, 45 the next day, was any different than doing 30, 30, 30, 30. And so for many people, they might not fit in every day of the week, 30 minutes. So the reason why the guidelines are written as 150 minutes was to allow some flexibility with the general population. And the recommendation is at least 10 minutes at a time. So if you've got 10 minutes, you can do something and you can contribute to overall some of these health benefits. The other piece that we often forget about is 2 days a week of strength training. There's a lot of benefits to strength training separate from the aerobic piece. So that's one of the other recommendations. And then the youth population, they're a little less complicated. 60 minutes every day. And so you tend to hear this message a lot with the Fuel Up to Play 60 campaign and more focused in the youth. But in general, kids need 60 minutes, run around every day. They don't have the same 10-minute minimum. Anything that kids are doing, if they're jumping up and down for a minute, that counts. But just anything to get them out there. And there are recommendations for aerobic, muscle strengthening, and bone strengthening. It doesn't mean sending the kids to the weight room, but things like playing hopscotch and jumping and running and all the little things that kids do a lot of times are contributing to the bone and the muscle strengthening overall health. So I wanted to spend a few moments on the dietary guidelines and the physical activity guidelines so you kind of understood where these workshops were based on. So let me dive into the components of the workshops. As I mentioned before, it's a series of 6 1-hour lesson plans. Essentially, the idea is that you could pick this up, open it up in front of a group, and start teaching. So every workshop contains all of these components, and I'm going to go through each of these in more detail. So it starts off with a lesson plan. Just as if you're teaching a class, you want to know where you're getting started and how to map things out. There's also a couple learning objectives. There's talking points for each of the handouts and activities to kind of guide you through. There's some icebreakers to get things started and kind of get the group getting to know one another. Hands-on activities, some educational handouts, stretch breaks. There's also short video vignettes that are included with 5 of the 6 videos, and also evaluation forms. So I'm going to go through each of these pieces to give you an example of what's included. So the educational handouts were actually the framework of where the community workshops came from. So these were actually developed first. And the idea was, in putting out the dietary guidelines, that we wanted to create some kind of consumer piece. And so we first spent a lot of time developing these handouts. Our office does a lot of work in health literacy, and so it was important to kind of take the policy piece of the dietary guidelines and bring it down to the consumer message. And so we did a lot of testing and found, it's a little blurry on the screen, so I apologize, but found that people liked stories. They liked to hear from someone that seemed to be like them. And so that's why all of the handouts include a little bit of a story. There's a lot of pictures. This one has a recipe. And so the idea was trying to engage the consumer with a piece that they felt connected to them. And so you'll find in the first 5 workshops, all of them have a 2-page handout which looks similar to this. That can be taken out of the workshops and taught separately. So if you just had 10 minutes and you just wanted to say, okay, here's how we can talk about enjoying healthy food that tastes great, for example. So this is the handout that goes with workshop 1. You could pull this piece out, hand that to a group, and just talk about that. And that would provide some material, some guidance, hopefully spur some people on to make some possible behavior changes. And so these are available. We have translated these handouts in English and in Spanish. We're hoping to get to the rest of the workshop series in Spanish, but at this point, this is a piece that we've got in Spanish. And I'll let you know how to get the workshops and how to get all the material in just a few minutes. From there, so we took those individual handouts and then framed the rest of the workshop. So I mentioned the lesson plan, the learning objectives, and the talking points. Roughly about an hour, depending on the size of your group. We found in pilot testing, sometimes if there was a larger group and a lot of questions, and if you wanted to answer the questions, sometimes it takes a little longer than an hour. There's a guide before the workshop begins. And so before you start each workshop, there's a page that tells you, here's the materials you need. Here's the things to print out, here are the handouts, here's the objectives, and here's the key content you're going over. So in case you're not familiar with one of the components, here's some resources as to how to find more information or where to refer your group to. There's an instructor guide, as I mentioned before. There's also a workshop outline that kind of estimates how long each section should take. And so if you find you need to make modifications to the workshop based on your group, you can roughly substitute knowing how much time each session will take you. 2 to 3 learning objectives, and we suggest going through these at the beginning of class to tell everybody, hey, this is what we're talking about. And then when you get to the end, there's 2 to 3 tips at the end that we ask everybody to go home and try these so we can make this an action-oriented consumer piece. And then talking points, like I mentioned. So a lot of people that end up teaching the workshop may have a strong nutrition or physical activity background and feel comfortable picking up any handout and talking off of it, or you may not. And so there's talking points about the key facets of each of the handouts and kind of key things to highlight for your participants. Icebreakers, and this is one of my favorite parts. So each class starts with an icebreaker. So the idea is for the instructor to kind of go through things, prepare ahead of time, read through it, and then as people are trickling into the room, not everybody just sitting there. So we came up with icebreakers to kind of, you know, let participants ease into things, start to engage in some dialogue with the other participants, and also an opportunity to try something new. So a lot of our icebreakers include some sort of taste test or trying something out. So these are just a couple of examples of some of the icebreakers that are in the workshops. So a taste test of different spices, taste test of store brand versus a brand brand name canned fruit. Are you effective kitchen manager? This was like a Q&A kind of quick quiz to kind of set up one of the classes. We suggest a unique fruit and vegetable tasting. Again, we want this to be tailored to whatever participant population you're working with. And so the word unique can kind of depend on who you're working with and your population. And so it's really good to have a sense of the group that you're going to be teaching and therefore to find things that may be a little out of their comfort zone, something a little different for them to try. The same thing with spices. If you can introduce something that maybe a little bit different. They may not pick it up in the grocery store themselves, but this is a good chance to introduce something different. Trying out some whole grains. A lot of people are still concerned with, you know, brown rice and, you know, whole grain pasta that doesn't taste the same, but it may be a great idea to introduce some of these things when people can take a bite instead of buying the whole box at the store and try it out. And then find someone who. We have two of these games. It's kind of a bingo-like game where we ask people to get up and go around, find somebody who, you know, takes a walk to go do errands twice a week, or find somebody who likes to use spices instead of adding butter to a meal. You know, different things like that, but it asks participants to engage with other people in the group. And so it makes it a more interactive and dynamic group if you've had a chance already to talk and connect with other people around you. Handouts. So a big portion of each of the workshops is a variety of different handouts, and a lot of these are based on existing materials that are already out there. I know it's a little hard to see, but the Go Slow and Whoa Foods is actually something from NHLBI's We Can program. And so that, for example, divides up some foods into Go Foods, which are those, you know, more the fruits and vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy, the woe foods that are things, you know, more of the on-occasion type things, and then the, the slow foods kind of in that in-between, and then the woe foods that are kind of, you know, more on a selective basis. I'm talking about, you know, fried foods or things like that that maybe aren't as healthy, but they still fit into an overall diet, just not on a regular basis. And for some people, seeing things divided up in that way, so go, this is sometimes also with like a stoplight analogy, so go foods are green, and slow foods are yellow, and woe foods are maybe red, like on occasion. For some people, that's an easy way for them to visualize how foods can fit into their overall life. And one of the things that we really try to do with the workshops is come up with a lot of different ways to reach the consumer, because people learn at all different levels and they react to different things. And so for that reason, the workshops have a lot of different components because we realize people learn in different ways. And so there's handouts, so people have something visually in front of them and it's something for them to take home and look at later. And there's also the instructor speaking to them. There's also the video piece, and then there's, you know, participant engagement and hands-on activities. And so we're trying to introduce a lot of different ways to engage the participant and also to help motivate them to be able to make some of these healthy nutrition and physical activity behaviors a part of their overall life. So some of the other ones, reducing your sodium intake. So this is tips about different spices that may work with different foods. How to modify a recipe, and that's actually one of the activities as well to do in the workshop, but then there's also a handout for tips for trying at home. Tips for eating out and choosing healthier foods at restaurants. which can be really consuming, really confusing for a lot of people. So this handout kind of goes through the different ethnic cuisines and some suggestions of things to try. Slow cooker tips and recipes, and also a weekly meal planner. And the slow cooker piece is also included as a activity as well. So there's tips to actually make a recipe in class. Plug in the slow cooker and let it cook for a little bit. You can start to smell things pretty soon, but to show people how to use it, because the slow cooker sometimes is still a little daunting, but it can be a huge time saver and also a healthy way to make a lot of foods. Stretch breaks. So, since we've all been sitting, and since I'm talking about stretch breaks, I'm going to ask you all to stand up. We'll all stretch for a quick moment, because I know we go to these conferences and we sit all day long. So I'm just going to ask everybody to stand up, just kind of move your legs. While I'm talking about stretch breaks, you can stand just for the duration of this slide, and then I'll let you sit back down. But essentially, the whole point of having a stretch break is an opportunity for movement. You all know, when you sit still for a really long time, it gets hard to focus, right? You can stretch, bring your hands up, whatever you feel comfortable. There's a lot of different activities within the stretch breaks. One of them we did a Find Someone Who, similar to what I mentioned before, but this is a little different. And so we're asking people to go around the room, go interact. You have to stand the whole time. So there's a couple different things. The other piece is that it can help restart or refocus the group. So we found one of the pilot sites said they loved the stretch breaks because she had a bigger group. Stretch breaks fell about halfway through, so it was a good time to get everybody up, get everybody to stretch, deep breath, and then kind of resume the class. So I'll let you all take a seat now. If you want to stand while I'm talking, that's totally fine too. I've been to a lot of meetings where people stand at the back of the room, and so if you learn better that way, that's perfect. All right. I mentioned some of the activities, and so I just wanted to go through a couple of those as well. One of them is a rethink your drink, so this is more of a quiz. Especially focusing on sugar sweetened beverages, you know, things that you can get from the local coffee shop that a lot of people may not realize how many quote unquote empty calories there may be. As you know, that a lot of restaurants are now starting to show the amount of calories, and it's very eye opening for a lot of people to realize, you know, how many calories may be in that morning latte or something like that. So that's one of the activities. It's more of a quiz based. There's muscle strengthening exercises, and I'll go through that. We'll get to that slide in a few moments. How to use a nutrition facts label. This is something that is still very confusing for the consumer. And so this activity we found was really helpful to kind of bring in a variety of nutrition facts labels and work with participants. Okay, what information do you look for? Where do you start? Because it's confusing. Also, planning a weekly menu and evaluating the sales circular. So this was a key part of the budgeting one, which was workshop 3, but looking at an ad and figuring out what's on sale, and then how do you make a meal around it? So that was one of the activities included. And then videos. I mentioned earlier, so we have 5 videos that were done that fit with the first 5 of the workshops. And the idea with these, again, is that people learn differently. So I'm going to show you one of them. This is the video for tips to lose weight and keep it off.
I'm ready to take off an extra pound,
to look at what I'm eating and how much,
to get to a healthy weight and feel good while doing it, to add more activity to my life. Spend a few minutes with us. Chances are you'll pick up some good tips to help you with your journey to reaching a healthy weight
and keeping it off. Our first tip, set a weight goal with your doctor. I'm done rationalizing that I'm just big bone or I'm destined to be overweight since being large runs in my family. Truth is, I need to get to a healthier weight. No more excuses. My doctor helped me set a reasonable weight goal. She told me my BMI, or body mass index, is 29, which means I'm overweight. To be at a healthy weight, I need to have a BMI under 25. For me, that means I need to lose about 30 pounds. Hey, that's not so bad. I can do that. I've set many goals and rewards along the way. For every 5 pounds lost, I'm planning on buying a bottle of nail polish or treating myself to a movie. Go to www.health.gov/BMI to find out your BMI. Just type in your height and weight. It's really simple. Set a goal with your doctor, and then take small steps. I've already started eating healthier. Today's tips will get you on the road.
Like Jaden, I'm also on my way. In fact, I've lost 20 pounds already. I'm here to go over tip number 2, eat less. Here are a few things you might want to try. Limit high-calorie snacks. Instead of chips, I get my crunch from bell peppers with a bit of hummus. Hits the spot. And better for me. And try to limit the sweets. Instead of cookies, satisfy your sweet tooth with a piece of fresh fruit or fruit mixed into plain yogurt. Beverages can mean a lot of empty calories. Drink a small glass of juice instead of the big size one. Personally, I cut way back on soft drinks, and I'm seeing a difference on the scale.
Well, Carson, great tips. I'm going to talk about tip 3, track what you eat and drink. It gives you a good idea of what you are really eating, how much, and when. Now, here are 3 ways to track. Keep a notebook nearby and write down everything you eat and drink. Or log in your food at www.choosemyplate.gov. Click on the Super Tracker button. Or take a photo with your cell phone to remind you of what you eat. After seeing a bunch of food photos one weekend, I said, enough of this mindless eating. Tracking works. Give it a try.
Our final tip, tip 4, is to get active. Physical activity burns calories, and that helps you lose weight and keep it off. There's a website I want you to visit, www.health.gov/PA guidelines. This site gave me tips on how to get active and stay active. It can help you find activities that you enjoy and plan them into your week. I try to do something for at least 10 minutes at a time to get the health benefits. Which things would you like to try to add activity to your day? Walk at lunch? Hike with the kids? Ride a bike? Take up a sport? Even just jogging in place while you watch TV? It's up to you.
Remember, adding activity to your life will burn calories.
And so now, there you have it.
4 great tips to help you reach a healthy weight.
Learn your BMI and set a healthy goal weight.
Pick the way you want to eat less. Pick healthier snacks. Skip dessert. Or just take a bite to satisfy. Cut back on high-calorie beverages.
Track what you eat.
Find an activity that you enjoy. Then, do it.
Remember, small changes can make a big difference. What will you do today to aim for a healthy weight?
For more information, go to www.health.gov/dietary guidelines. This presentation was brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
So that's just one example of one of the videos. That happens to be one that's a little bit longer. Most of them are between 2 and 3 minutes. So if you are in an area when you're teaching the workshops and you have accessible either a DVD player or to the internet, all of these videos are also, they're on our website as well as YouTube, and I'll give you the links to all of that at the end. But that just kind of gives you an example of trying to connect to the participants and come up with a lot of different tips. As you saw here, they cover 4 different ways to get down to a healthy weight. And so part of the idea in doing the workshop is to provide participants with a lot of different suggestions and then for people to figure out what works for them, really. The key theme for the physical activity guidelines in 2008 was be active your way. And that's kind of continued on with the dietary guidelines as well, is to figure out kind of what works for you, because everyone's a little bit different. And so the workshops are full of material and have lots of great tips and different advice, but the idea is to figure out what works for the individual. As I mentioned before, Workshop 6 is more focused on physical activity. And for that reason, there's a longer activity period. So instead of a stretch break where you're getting up for a minute or two, we're actually asking people to teach some very basic physical activity. And so these are 3 of the handouts that are in Workshop 6. And so what the suggestion is either to bring in like canned goods, so we're talking a very lightweight just to demonstrate this, or a resistance band, and basically walk through doing some of the exercises. See, the idea is to show people. A lot of times physical activity can be very daunting. Where do I start? How do I lift weights? You know, walking is pretty straightforward, but when you start getting into strength training, a lot of people's eyes glaze over, especially if you send them into a gym. And so the nice thing with this is that these are all things that can be done at your desk. You don't need to change clothes. When I pilot tested this, actually, I gave everybody the two cans. And I said, put these on your desk in front of you. And when you wonder why you are staring at two cans of beans or soup or whatever it is, you can think, hey, I could pick them up while I'm on that conference call. And I could do something. So every little bit is going to count. And so these just show a few of the exercises. It's a little hard to see, but there's one in the middle about an overhead press, straight over your head, a front raise, and then a bicep curl as well. And so these are things, even if the instructor does not have a physical activity background, it gives you the step-by-step of exactly how to do it, the key things to remind people of, things like not holding your breath as you're doing these activities to kind of relax, and things like that. But that's a key part of the physical activity, is just to kind of introduce people to that concept and how they can put it in as a part of their life. Choose My Plate, I'm sure you're all aware of this, that came out June a year ago, and this followed the dietary guidelines that was released in 2010. And so the idea was really to come up with a new concept and a visualization of how people could see their overall eating patterns. Now, I'm realizing that not everything you eat fits on a plate. Sometimes you have breakfast in a cereal bowl, and so you kind of, the thought is to use My Plate as kind of a general analogy that if your day overall kind of looks like that. So as you can see, the big parts are the fruits and vegetables. Obviously, make half your plates fruits and vegetables, and then grains are up in the top corner, make half your grains whole, things like that, the protein, and then low-fat or fat-free dairy. The other nice thing that with the Choose My Plate is that they've also created a 10-tip series. Is anyone familiar with these? These are great handouts, and they have way more than the number I've listed here. But basically, at the end of each workshop series, we include a page that just has the Choose My Plate. So if you want to spend more time teaching the group about My Plate, there's a handout right there. And then there's a 10 tip that corresponds with each of the workshops. So 10 tips for a great plate, for healthy meals, how to stretch your food dollars, obviously fits in with the budget-friendly one. Things like that that kind of resonate how to kind of connect this another different way. And so it's, you know, some other tips and suggestions, a quick one-page handout. But I'd really suggest checking out the choosemyplate.gov website. Has a zillion more Choose My Plate tips. They're very consumer-friendly, and you can add them into anything you're teaching or talking to people about. So the workshop evaluation, this is the final component of each workshop, and Amber's going to spend some more time talking about what we did with pilot testing, which involved more extensive evaluations, but we've included at the end of each workshop a tailored evaluation form that you can choose to use or not use. But the idea is that if you're teaching this and you want to be able to provide feedback either to your group or to your supervisor or to the county or to whoever you're working with about how this worked, the evaluation is getting at, you know, if people learn something, if they're motivated to make changes, if they thought the instructor covered the material well, and it's a simple 5-point Likert scale. So something real quick you can ask people to do at the end if you're trying to track some of this information and figure out, hey, did it work? Are they learning something? Are they engaged? Things like that. And then also at the end of the workshop series is a certificate of completion. And this is something we actually learned from pilot testing the materials. One of our pilot testing sites made their own certificate and made a celebration at the end of the last class. And we thought, wow, that's a great idea. You know, why don't we celebrate these people that have come through, and if they've done it sequentially, all six, maybe over 6 weeks, maybe over 12 weeks, depending on how it may be structured. And let's celebrate and reward people who have learned something new and hopefully taken what they've learned and put it into their life. And so there's also a certificate. It's in PowerPoint format and it's in PDF, so you can go in and put the name, you can put in your logo, you can change whatever and make it work for your community. So some additional resources. The next few slides I'm going to cover what's included in the appendix. And so, like I mentioned, the workshop series includes all six of them, but there's also a fairly detailed appendix for more resources and more information. And so these are just some of the organizations that were involved with this and some of the materials that we used. I mentioned before NHLBI's We Can program, Choose My Plate, the President's Challenge program, which I'll get to in just a moment, and also things from FDA, including the food label, and they were very helpful and generous with helping out with the printing of the actual workshops. So I'm going to cover just a little bit if you want to start teaching the workshops. So what are some things, because these are questions we get a lot. Okay, I have the materials, how do I start this? So gathering the materials. Essentially, all of these workshops are available on our website, which is down at the bottom here, and you can download each of them. You can download the whole series, all of six of these, or each of them sequentially. So the website is health.gov/dietary guidelines/workshops. But if you get to the dietary guidelines page, you'll see it on the left-hand side. There's a Eat Healthy, Be Active community workshop link. The other nice thing is we finally have these just got printed last week. And so if you want a hard copy, because let me tell you, it's much easier to teach with this. FDA has them at our booth. The box for our office, ODPHP, has not come here yet for some reason. So they will probably have a lot of them on Wednesday. Or if you go to our website, there's a form at the bottom of the page, and you can request your own copy. Now, this is a government resource, meaning it's free to use, so we would encourage you to pick up, teach it, modify it, go to town, make it work. Just to overview, what are some of the other materials? There's handouts in both English and Spanish, as I mentioned before, and those are the two-page handouts that fit in with each of the workshops. The video vignettes are also on our website and also on our YouTube channel. The best practices for implementation, and I'm going to let Amber talk to you more about that, it kind of summarizes what we learned when we pilot tested it, and tips and things that weren't necessarily in the workshops, but we think are helpful as people get started. We did a webinar back in September that basically went through kind of a lot of what I've already shared with you today, but if you are sharing this with a colleague and you wanted to provide more information, we have recorded our webinar, and so if you'd like to listen to that, it goes through a lot of what I've talked about today and then highlights one of our pilot testing sites and talks about their experiences. And as I mentioned, information about getting a printed copy of the workshop. I'll have this website up again at the end of the presentation as well. So getting started. So a lot of people that have started teaching this, they may already have a community identified or a group of people that they work with. In pilot testing, we found a lot of times people already had perhaps a captive audience that they worked with. And maybe in the community, we had Head Start people, we had Worksite Wellness, just a wide range of groups of adults. Community health workers, we had some hospital employees, a lot of different things. So it often works if you've already got a group that you want to be teaching to, or if people are asking, hey, this group could really, you know, enjoy a presentation on this topic. As far as advertising, you're free to use any of the materials, pictures, graphics, things that are on here. And so we had a lot of people, and we're working on making a more general flyer that people can pick up and use, but feel free to kind of modify as to what works. For some people, they were distributing print copies. Other people were distributing things electronically and sending like an e-blast out. So it kind of depends on who you're working with and what works best for your audience. Recruiting participants, and this is another one that we found kind of depended on who you're working with. A lot of times word of mouth tended to be really good, because sometimes if you could convince one person and say, hey, bring a friend or two, having that connection of someone else with them often can help make the behavior change a little bit easier, because they know someone else is thinking, oh, how could I start making some changes so that my family's eating healthier? And if they have a friend to chat with after they walk out of the class, they're still talking about it. So we often found that kind of connecting, you know, bringing in people and asking them to expand that group helped quite a bit. We have a couple sites who taught the workshops already in the spring and are now teaching it again to a different group, and they've gone back to their first group and said, hey, we're teaching it again. Do you have a friend that wants to learn this? And so that may be another way to kind of connect and gather your participants. The next few slides, I'm going to just real briefly, because people have asked about some of the supplies and some of the costs, because we did include some different taste testing and different things that do cost a small amount of money. So again, this kind of depends on the community we're working with and the resources you have. For pilot testing, we were able to provide a small stipend that covered a lot of these food items. So you may be able to do that. You may not have the food items. It just all depends, but I just want to show you the list of what's included, and that's also in the workshops as well, so you can take a look and figure out what would work. So the non-food item, it looks like a lot of things, but if you consider this was over a series of 6 workshops, and a lot of these things may be items that you already have. So I mentioned before there was an activity with the slow cooker, and so if you want to demo the slow cooker and show it, a number of the instructors may already have that, so you could bring that in from home. Menus from local restaurants that may just take a walk around the block to go in and grab some of those. The sales circular, you may be able to grab those out of your local newspaper. So as you see, tablespoon and teaspoon, some of these things are things you may already have at home, but we wanted to put this whole list together so that people had a starting point. And then some food supplies. So this is if you do all of the suggested activities. One of the items is making a recipe in the slow cooker, and so that was doing like a pound of chicken breast and some canned vegetables and some fresh vegetables. And so that's a recipe that costs a little bit more because you're making something. Some of the other things, a can of store-bought fruit and a can of brand new fruit, you know, relatively inexpensive, but just so you're all aware of what we added to this. And then to jump back to the appendix information, so I mentioned there's a wealth of information kind of at the back of the workshop series, and this is more like an FYI if you're interested, or if you have participants that are asking for more information. And so all of the websites and all of the links that we're sending you to are from federal resources. So this is information that you know is credible and that you can give to anybody at a consumer level to help them kind of better understand the topic. I also found sometimes if people were asking questions and you couldn't get to it in one session, sometimes it was really easy to go to a site, pull up a quick one page, and print it out and bring it back to somebody in the next class. That may be one way to kind of connect and follow up with someone, but this is just kind of a quick overview of what's included and what are the details. So it's a number of web links, but everything you could want to know more about these topics is in there at the back. And then two other quick things that are in the appendix. Has anybody heard of the PALA Plus program? It was initially PALA, and they added the Plus, which adds a nutrition component. And so this is just something else I wanted to bring up. It's something that you may want to add on to the workshops. So our office works quite a bit with the President's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition, which is another office under the Office of the Assistant Secretary. And what they basically did is they took the dietary guidelines, and they took the physical activity guidelines and came up with a 6-week kind of challenge program. And so basically what the program is a 6-week time period. And so 5 out of 7 days of those 6 weeks, people are working towards meeting the physical activity guidelines. Now, I mentioned about 150 minutes that it's kind of hard to wrap everyone's head around that number. So for the purposes of this program, they took it into 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day, just to make it a little bit more consumer-friendly. It's still the same amount of time, but they just broke it down. And so you basically are checking off a box if you've done 30 minutes. So that's the physical activity piece. And then they added nutrition. So PALA existed in itself with just physical activity. Nutrition got added on in their second year. And basically there's 8 tips here. It's a little hard to see, but first one, make half your plate fruits and vegetables. Make half your grains whole grains. So these are all the same consumer messages you've seen before. The idea is you pick one of these each week, and then you add on to it. So maybe the first week you choose fat-free or low-fat milk, yogurt, or cheese, and you do the physical activity. And then week 2, you're still choosing fat-free or low-fat cheese, or low-fat milk, cheese, yogurt. And then maybe you choose lean sources of protein. Maybe that's what you try on the next time. And so the idea is to sequentially add on, and so you try these little bits each week, and hopefully by the end of the 6-week period, you've developed and kind of incorporated some of these healthy eating and physical activity habits. So this is something, so if you're working with a group and they want to kind of extend it, or if they want something a little bit more accountable, they want to be writing things down, this is a great program, so it's included in the back of the appendix. And also, if you fill it out online and submit the form in that you've accomplished it, you'll get a nice certificate from the President's Council co-chairs, which are currently Dominique Dawes and Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. So you get a nice certificate signed by them saying that you've achieved your PALA Plus. So that's just something else that people may want to add in that may work within your community. And then food safety information. This was something that came up in pilot testing, that they wanted some more food safety. So this is just a quick handout that can be copied and distributed.